In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Brothers and sisters, we've heard this parable a million times, so you should understand it, at least the basics of it. The Lord explained it, so this is one of the easiest ones to at least understand the surface meaning. But when I read this parable, because I know it so well, I kind of skip ahead, because to me the most important part of the parable is at the end, after the explanation. And if you try this, you'll see that it's true. When you read the gospel or any of the scripture, but especially the gospels, there are key words. You could circle two or three words in a particular story and have the full meaning of the story, basically. So that's often what I do, is I circle a few words to talk about. And that's what happened here. Now, to me, the most important two words in the entire story are good ground. The Lord is saying, on the good ground are they, which in an honest, another circle, and good heart, another circle, having heard the word of God, keep it and bring forth fruit, a circle, with patience. And we got to circle that one twice. So what is good ground? It's good to know this. I'm not sure everybody always understands what good ground is. Good ground doesn't mean you're a good person. Only God is good. Good ground is ground that accepts the word of God so that it can bear fruit. The word is bearing the fruit. We say that we bear fruit, but really, that's not technically correct. We accept the word, and then God, working through us, bears fruit with us as his collaborators. Imagine we created out of dust, are collaborators with Almighty God. So what goes into this good ground? We're about to celebrate a crowning right after the liturgy. That's why the liturgy started early. And good ground is something that must also be present in a marriage. If you've done any gardening, then you know that good ground reverts to bad ground pretty quickly, especially in a place like Texas in a hot summer. If you don't mulch your ground, if you haven't properly given it compost and amended it before the hot summer, if you don't water it, you don't weed it, you have no fruit in your crop. That's happened to me many times because I start well in gardening. I do all kinds of amendments and everything else, but then it gets to be the summer and I forget to water it. And my tomatoes die, or they don't bear fruit. They grow, but they don't bear fruit. So having good ground means that you are maintaining it. And it's the same thing with a marriage. There must be good ground in a marriage. The purpose of marriage, of course, you should know. I've told you about it many, many times. It's for the salvation of your soul. So the two people, dissimilar people, can learn to be one. And in learning to be one, they learn to love God, who is one. So it's a school for the perfection of the soul. And it takes care, feeding, weeding, all the things that you must do to ground, and effort, ongoing effort. Let's talk about these other words that are circled. It's sort of an instruction manual. Basically, this parable is a command. It looks like a story that's descriptive, but it's actually a story that is telling you how to live. By the way, that's the way all the gospel is. There's nothing in the gospel that's just descriptive. Everything is teaching you how to live, how to think. If you don't learn how to think and how to live from reading the gospel, then just read the phone book, because it will be just as useful to you. You have to read the gospel with intent, with desire to know how to live, what kind of person to be. So an honest and good heart. What is that? We're celebrating St. John of Kronstadt today. And he had an honest and good heart. He was really unbelievable as a human being, the endurance that he had with the schedule that he kept, the prayers that he said, celebrating liturgy every day, building a house for the poor really was a very gifted person in every way. God gifted him with wisdom and knowledge, and he had great honesty. If you read his life in My Life in Christ, you only get part of the story. There's another book that some people think is not as good. I think it's better. It's called A Prodigal Saint. And it shows that when he did something that you and I probably wouldn't even notice as being wrong, he was merciless on himself. So he was quite honest. Your honesty must begin with yourself. I find as a priest that honesty is not incredibly common. Because many people don't really know much about their sins. They're not honest with themselves. I think that's the first place honesty starts, is honesty with yourself. And a good heart. A good heart is one that is good as God is good. Well, God loves all men freely, without prejudice, without exception. So, if you want to understand what this is commanding you to do, it's commanding you that any sin against your fellow man, whether they be your friend or your enemy, whether they be someone who's doing you right or has done you wrong, is the greatest sin you can commit. And you must flee from such sins like a snake. A good heart cares about everyone. So, look inside yourself and see where you don't care about people. Those are the things you need to correct. Let's talk about the fruit and the patience. The fruit, of course, is to become like God. That's what you're called to be. That's what the scripture said, ye are gods. You're called to become like God. He's already started us out on it a little bit. We've been baptized. We're creators. We create life. We spread the word of God by the way we live and by what we say and what we do. So that fruit is to become like God. Now let's talk about patience. Probably a lot of us here would say, oh, I'm not a patient person. I'll tell you what, every single one of you must be a patient person in order to be saved. Every single one of you. Because there's kind of two kinds of patience. One is salvific, leads to eternal life. And the other one, well, some of us are blessed with it and some of us aren't. Now, the one that is so obvious, but is not as important, is when a person is patient if, let's say, the traffic backs up, or there's a long line, or they've lost their license, or their keys, which I've done about 6 times in the past 6 months, or something like that. There's people that just are calm in situations, and other people that aren't. People that don't get upset when something doesn't go their way. Other people that get irritated. Getting irritated is a sin. Getting upset is a sin. Being impatient when there's a long line is a sin. But these are minor things. These are things you can conquer. God will help you. Now, there's another kind of patience that you have to possess, or else you can't be saved. And this is the patience that's especially being spoken of here. The Lord's not talking about something so trivial as being patient when you're waiting in a line. He's talking about patience in living the Christian life. Because when we live the Christian life, sometimes things don't get better. Sometimes for a long time. Sometimes you do the right thing and bad things happen to you. Sometimes you say what's correct and you're misunderstood. Sometimes you're slandered for the person you are, or actually for the person people think you are, when actually the internal man is doing the right thing. Patience is also necessary when all those things are happening. to continue. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. But also it said that he who endures to the end will be saved. This endurance is this patience that the Lord is talking about. We have to cultivate this endurance. There's going to be days when you don't do so well, but you must have an overall track of struggle and not giving up, no matter what. That's the patience that will save. If you don't have that patience, then you won't be saved. Because people without that patience, they give up. People without that patience see some scandal in the church and they leave the church, not understanding that there are sinners in the church that do sinful things, but that the church itself is holy. People without patience have some setback in their life, and they allow it to consume their life, and they leave the Christian life. They might still remain Christians. They might come to church. But they don't struggle anymore for eternal things. People who are patient, the kind of patience that will save your soul, are going to pray every day, even though sometimes those prayers are not, don't appear to be heard. They're always heard. They read the scriptures with expectation every day, even if they don't understand them, because they believe God, that he will enlighten them. This patience is absolutely necessary in order to have this good ground, this endurance. I tell you that as a pastor, the people in my ministry that have impressed me the most, sometimes brought me to tears, are not the people who have it all together. Externally. Internally, none of us have it together. I know that to be true for sure. But, you know, most of us present as pretty okay people. The people who are struggling against some sin and failing at it, but keep struggling, those people are impressive. That's the kind of patience that wins your soul. That's why I keep telling you all the time that I don't care about your sin. I'm not afraid of your sin. God's not so impressed with your sin. That's not going to kill you. What's going to kill you is if you don't repent of your sin, if you don't struggle against it. You don't have the power to lift one finger. God has to do everything, but he only does it in cooperation with you. So there's no sin that you can overcome on your own. It doesn't matter if it's big or small. So with that logic, your sin is not important. It's whether or not you struggle against your sin. And I'll tell you, when people fall away, whether they leave the church or not, they fall away because the struggling is just a little too hard. And reading the scripture that they don't understand, sometimes it bores them. Coming to church when they really would rather be doing something else. Praying when their lifestyle really doesn't allow for such time. And when they do pray, it doesn't really seem so impressive to them. Like their prayers, as we say, bounce off the walls. That's why people fall away, because they're not patient. So you have to cultivate this patience. It's very, very important. As a priest, I'll tell you, there are things constantly that test patience. And I'm not talking about trivial things. I'm not talking about things like, you know, somebody is doing this or doing that. It's the condition of people and that tests a priest's patience. When you want to go to someone and say, just try a little harder, but they're not trying harder. And they're going down. So it's hard to have all those things happen in a priest's life. There's only one thing to do if you have those things happen. Well, I guess there's multiple things you can do, but only one that works. That is, you must cultivate your experience with God. That's what brings forth patience. Remember, I'm not talking about the patience about sitting in line or being in traffic. I'm talking about the patience to struggle against your sins that you all must have. If you experience God, then you can be patient, because then it's very real. It's as real as the air you're breathing. It's the sun that's shining. So you must cultivate your experience with God. I learned that kind of the hard way. I've been a priest for over 20 years now. And when things were really hard and I allowed them to distract me, I was still busy, but I didn't have any strength. But then I learned. And I learned that you must cultivate your relationship with God, your experience of God. And the way I do that, there are other ways to do it too, but the main ways that I do it are, I pray the Jesus Prayer, which sometimes is really tough, let me tell you. It's really hard to do sometimes. I pray it in intense situations, not just when I'm in the car, not just when I'm doing this or doing that, but intensely for myself and especially for others. I'll tell you, there's a pull on me when I pray intensely for others, especially if there's some difficulty that is longstanding. There's this sort of like voice that says, don't bother the master, just quit, stop. This is hard. For those of you that are athletes, you know, when you run a long distance, the hardest part is not at the end or the beginning. It's at the middle, after the midpoint, till about maybe you're 80% done. That 50 to 80% part, that's hard because you're tired and you still got a long way to go. That kind of feeling is the kind of feeling that I'll sometimes get when I'm praying the Jesus Prayer. And when God allows me, despite my sins, to be patient and keep praying, stuff happens. So that's one way in which I cultivate experience with God. And also, reading the scriptures, especially the gospel. Sometimes stuff just jumps out of the page. And it's just too beautiful to even put into words. There's this hope that I have. But remember, hope is not wishing something. We've got to be careful about the use of our words. The world uses words, and they don't mean what we mean. Hope for us is this expectation of something we know is going to happen. Not that we're wishing will happen, that we think might happen. We know it's going to happen. So I read this. It talks about those in an honest and good heart. It might be arguable whether or not I have an honest or good heart, but I think God is helping me to have one. It says, they hear the word of God, they keep it, and they bring forth fruit. I believe that. So I hope for it. I very much want you to hope for it too and cultivate your experience with God so that you can be patient and you can continue to pray. You can fast. You can love your brother even when you don't necessarily see that things are changing a whole lot, either in yourself or with your loved ones, or in your environment or situation. If you have that kind of patience to continue to struggle, God will bring forth fruit in your life. But I tell you again, the way you have that patience is not by willing it to happen. You can't will yourself to have patience. You have patience by experiencing God. That's the whole point of our creation. We were made to experience God, to be with God, to be united with God. So what I suggest to you, those of you who maybe are not praying like you should or reading the Gospels, just improve a little bit tomorrow, just a little bit, but with expectation that you'll improve more, all with the intent that you want to have God so that you can see him right in front of you. You can feel him like the wind. He's as close to you, closer than your own breath. If you experience God, I tell you, your patience is going to improve. That's what all the saints understood. May God help us to be patient. Amen.